We're starting with Paratez Vavim Shmuel Aleph. We're going like this. Vayomer Shmuel. Pasuk Aleph. Vayomer Shmuel no Shol. Shmuel said to Shol, Osi Shalach Hashem Lim Shachacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me, right, in order to anoint you Lamelech Alamo, to be king over his nation. Remendel Hirsch points out it's still God's nation, not Shol's. So it's Amo, his nation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Yisrael. That's a Shema L'Kol Edvei Hashem. And now you have to listen to the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here. Now, Shmuel and Avi had already said to Shaul, because Shaul HaMelech had not listened to him in the previous war, said, you're no longer going to be king. It was good up until now, but you didn't listen to me. I told you to wait for 7 days. I'm going to come, and then you'll bring the korbanos, and then you'll fight the war. You didn't do that, even though you won the war, but you didn't wait for me. So he said, you're no longer going to be king. So he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, I don't want my handiwork destroyed in my lifetime. So he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a reprieve. Give him a second chance. So Shaul HaMelech was given a second chance. If he followed this rule to the letter, if he did exactly what he was supposed to do, then he would remain king over Klal Yisrael in some way, shape, or form. But unfortunately, as we all know, he didn't. And that's why David HaMelech ended up coming in. So that's the idea behind it. Now, the kasha is also, what about Amalek? We know that you're chayiv to destroy Amalek. We know that that's chayiv in every single person. But, oh, Ellie, it's yours. But we know that you're supposed to destroy every single person. But what we don't know is how or when. Am I allowed to just kill a person in Amalek right now? If I know, Elio, for example, that you're Amalek, am I allowed to just get up and kill you? The answer is no. There's a limitation to when you can kill Amalek, when that's allowed to be. Sometimes it's going to be allowed and sometimes it's not. One of those things that you need is you need a king. In order to wage war on Amalek, you need a king. Shaul HaMelech was the king, said Shmuel and Avi, that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu was on. So, Kol Marashem Tzvakos. I'm sorry?
There was no king the first time
they did. Winning the first time with Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of a king. Status of a Melech, he could kill when he wanted to, and he was leader on all of Klal Yisrael. So the Chassam Sofer, at the end of his Tshuvas in Or HaChaim in Reish Ches, says that Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of a king, and it's also a Medrash. Oh, somebody just asked me about this, and I looked it up. I don't remember where it is. It's a Medrash Tanchuma somewhere that says that Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of the king. The Shaila is if Yoshua had the status of a king, but Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of a king.
Isn't there also a famous story of some Rav who was like walking somewhere and he was late or something, and this Talmud asked him where he was, and he said it was being Mekayim the Mitzvah of Mechiras Amalek or something like that.
Mechiras Amalek. So that's the Chassam Sofer, and Reb Nosson Adler saw that he had done a mitzvah, and he said, what do you do? He said, I just threw a rock at a person who was beating me up, and he said, oh, you just killed Amalek and you got the mitzvah. That's a mitzvah kiyumis. As opposed to a mitzvah chiyuvis. You don't go around killing people, right? But if you happen to kill a person who is a Amalek, right, then you got a mitzvah chiyuvis. But again, not a suggestion. This is not something you can go around doing. I'm sorry?
Best mitzvah notes for a kid.
Oh, but for sure.
Write your kid a mitzvah
note. He killed a Amalek. That's amazing, actually. I didn't even think of that. Komar Shem Tzvako. I should write that anyway.
Shmuley made his bed.
No, I should just make it. No, I think that's awesome. He killed a Amalek. Komar Shem Tzvako. Pakad Yez Asher also Amalek Li Yitzor Asher Samlo Badar Balos Mitzrayim. I remember that which Amalek did for Bnei Yisrael when they waited for them on the road when they came up from Mitzrayim over here. Now, Rashi says the name used is Hashem Yudke Vavke. That's the name of Rachamin. You don't use the name of Rachamim when you're talking about destroying an entire nation. But the reason why is because this is Rachamim. We may not understand it, and there's no way for us to fully understand it. But if a Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us that this nation is like a bunch of thorns that needs to be destroyed, that is Rachamim for the rest of Klal Yisrael, because they were as evil and corrupt as their ancestors. Now, why is that any different from what the Arabs do with Jews? Right? Why should that be any different? If they're commanded to kill Jews, why should it be the way? So the answer is that, number one, they're not commanded to kill Jews, right? That's not exactly what it says. Right, infidels maybe, but that applies to almost everybody. There's no actual command to be able to do that. Number two, it doesn't say you have to kill yourself along with the Jews, right? It just, you have to, whatever, somebody who's an infidel and doesn't believe in whatever it is. Aside from that, we have an interesting thing over here. Again, you can't do it on your own. It has to come through a nevuah or through a melech in some way to be able to go through. You can't just get up and do it. And that makes it a lot different than it is for anything else. Ato, Lech Viki says Amalek, go and kill Amalek. Vachramtem is kol shalo. Take away everything they own below. Sachmalav, do not have mercy on them. You see that line? He was told, I know you're an unav. Don't have mercy on them. Ve'matmi isha ad isha. You have to kill every man and woman. May olel ve'ad yonik, child and nursing child. I know how hard that is. But this is a tzivoy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mishor Vatsa, ox, as well as sheep, migamo vad chamor, all camels, all donkeys, that is going to be over here, and that's what has to be over here. So that's the prophetic command that they were told over here, and they had to be able to show. Now, why did they have to kill the animals? To show when they were fighting against the Moloch, it was not to take away his wealth. It wasn't for any other ulterior motives. It was purely because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to do it, and that's it. If they took money from them and grabbed their sheep and their goats and their cattle, etc., then it would look like we're only doing this because, obviously, we're trying to gain something from it. Here, it's not greed. We're doing it because the Kaddish Baruch wants us to do it. A second reason why they had to kill all the animals is because Rashi brings down there were sorcerers among the Amalekim who were able to turn themselves into animals. There's an unbelievable Ben Ish Chai that says that the difference between a human and an animal is by looking at its eyes. If you see in its eyes, it has eyes that are human being eyes, then it's a human being dressed up as an animal, and then you should kill it. And if it just has animal eyes, then you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to leave it alone, whatever it is. You can't do that. He says physical. The Ben Ish Chai says physical. And he also says in the beginning, by the way, and everyone knows. That's the way you can tell. So that helps me with werewolves all the time. All the time, right? That just what you should know when you go through. By the way, but that's the idea. By Yishama Shaul Osa'am, Shaul summoned the people, by Yifkedem Batzlaim, he counted them with sheep. Originally, he used to count them with little tiny pieces of pottery. Now he's wealthier. Now you can see he got a little wealthier. Masayim Elef Ragli, took 200,000 foot soldiers, Aser Salafim Asi Yehuda, 10,000 of the men of Yehuda itself, right? And once again, he separates the people of Yehuda because Yehuda was Choshev on his own. It was very, very different over here. Chazal tell us that these sheep were not just sheep. It was the Korban Pesach. They brought their Korban Pesachim and he made them separate, and that's how he knew how many there were. He did not make a separate count of the people. It was a count of the people based on the Korban Pesach that they were using at that time, and that's what they ended up doing over here, and that's that. Now, it happens to be this number has to be approximate. It was 200,000 exactly. Like all of a sudden they called it up and it was like 199,999, 200,000. All right, we got it. No, it was 200,000, whatever. But that's the idea behind it. And therefore, no issue whatsoever. Vayobo Shaul at Ir Amalek, Vayor Ben Elchol. So Shaul Amalek went to the city of Amalek and he fought in the Wadi. The Wadi is an area where a river used to go through, but it dried up. So no longer is it a river there. It's like this empty, dry thing. I remember when I was in San Diego once, I was driving with my kids, and I saw on the map in front of me, on the Waze thing in front of me, it showed that there was a river right there. And it was named. It was called River something or like that, right? It was in Tucson, not in Phoenix. It was in Tucson. And I was like, oh, guys, I didn't know there was a river in Tucson. Let's go check it out. There was no river. It was literally an empty riverbed. But they told me that like 5 days a year, it rains like crazy, like torrential downpours in the middle of Tucson. The thing fills up completely because all the water goes there. This huge river comes through, and the rest of the year, it's completely dry. Dry as a bone. But for 5 days, it's like this huge river that goes through there. But on Waze and on Google Maps, they took a picture at the time when the river was full. So you could see it as an actual river, but there's no actual river. That's what a wadi is. Chazal tell us also that the wording is weird. Vayorev benachal means he fought in the Nachal. Sounds like there was a debate. So Chazal tell us there was a debate. He looked at Egla Rufa, Shaul HaMelech, and said, Egla Rufa is brought when there's a murder in between two cities and you don't know who murdered it. For one person that was killed, Sanhedrin goes to the closest city, brings an Egla, and says, how dare you have a murder of a person, which is unnecessary, and they hit it in the back of the neck, and they kill it there, and they say, Yadenu lo shakus adam azeh, we didn't kill this person, we're not responsible. There's a whole thing going on there. Said Shaul HaMelech, if for one person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings this whole Egla Rufa and everything out there, then on all of Amalek, lo kol shekin, how can I kill all of Amalek? Shaul HaMelech was already fighting God, thinking that he should not kill everybody. He was worried about the children, worried about the babies. It's like, how am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? To be honest with you, I don't know how I would do it. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells you to kill a baby. You're going to kill a baby? That's a mitzvah se midio raisa, right? But you're going to kill the baby? It was a difficult thing to do. He said that. And then he looked at the animals. He's like, what do the animals do? What do the animals do? He had mercy on them. Yomer Shaul Lakeni. Shaul said to the Canaan that were around there, the Canaan, remember, were the descendants of Yisro from all the way back when. Lechu sur redumi toch Amaleki. Get away from the Amaleki. Turn away from the Amaleki. And penosif chayimo, maybe you'll be destroyed together with them. V'atosisa chesed kol b'nei Yisrael. You've done a chesed with b'nei Yisrael. Ba'alosim b'Yisrael, when they came up from Yisrael. V'yosar keni mitoch Amalek. And the Canaan removed, they went away from the people of Amalek. Welcome, David. So they moved away from the people of Amalek. He didn't want to go through. Remember, guys, the Kenim were nomadic tribes. There were nomadic people. They were going all over the place. There were some who learned with Klal Yisrael. There was Asniel ben Kenaz's Talmidim. There were others who were wicked, who dwelt with the Amalekim. There were others that were opportunists. There were people that were opportunists as well, right? Some say that there's a reward for Yisro greeting Moshe Rabbeinu. Some say it was a reward because Yisro set up a system of judges for Klal Yisrael. Some say it was because Yisro was stark contrast to what Amalek did. Amalek saw Bnei Yisrael leave and immediately tried to kill them when they left Mitzrayim, while Yisro automatically invited Moshe Rabbeinu in. Okay, whatever it is. But Yisro was given that gift. So he told the Canaan, I don't want any of you around. I'm going to be fighting Amalek, so you guys get out. Very similar to what the Israelis do nowadays, where before they bomb any area, they send in leaflets in which they say, get out of this area, we're bombing it tomorrow. They tell everybody, this is what we're going to do. Vayachshol Amalek, Shol destroyed Amalek, Mechavila Boach Ashur, from Chavila all the way to Shur, Asher Al Pnei Mitzrayim, which is lying right in front of Mitzrayim itself. They killed them all. Vayitbos is Agag Melech Amalek, and they captured Agag, king of Amalek, Choy, alive, Veskolam Hachrim Lifli Chorav, and everybody else they destroyed by the sword itself. He got over it. He killed every child, every woman. He was willing to do it. But Agag, he wanted to keep alive. Bilam foresaw this. Does anybody remember by Bilam? He said, the Yoreim Agag. He knew that Agag was going to survive. And he said it out loud that Agag was going to be there. At the time, nobody knew what he was talking about. But it is interesting. When Haman rolled his dice to see what day they should destroy Klal Yisrael, he rolled his dice and he came out. Everybody knows how a dice works, how a die works, right? On one side there's a 1, on the other side there's a 6, on one side there's a 4, on the other side there's a 3, on one side there's a 2, the other side there's a 5. Each side equals up to 7. He rolled the dice 3 times and he came out with, in this case, he came out with out 1, 3, 3. 1, 3, 3. So he looked at it and he said, Aleph, Gimel, Gimel. That stands for
Agag.
Agag. But what do we say on Purim? What's the line that we say on Purim? The Nahafahu, right? Turn it around. Turn it over. The Aleph is a Vav. The Gimel is a Dalet. The Gimel is a Dalet. It stands for David. So you turn it around, it becomes something like David. It's a famous, I forgot who it is, Revolson. I forgot who brings it down. That's something that's brought there. Ephraim Tversky tells it to me every single year. But Bayachmo Shova Amal Agag. Shol and the people, they had mercy on Agag. The point is the people. Shaul HaMelech could have mercy, but he was convinced by the people. He was upset at that, right? That's the idea behind it. And that's the idea. What was his thought process? What was the thought process? Why would you kill Agag? Why wouldn't you kill Agag? What are you thinking? Why wouldn't you do that? That's clearly... So the answer is, technically, Agag was not Amaleki. Agag was one of the only ones that were not Amaleki. He lived among the Amalekim, but he was from another nation. But he's called Amalek because he led the Amalekim. So he's technically Amalek. He is the predecessor, I guess, the father, great-great-grandfather of Haman. So there is Amaleki blood in there. But he technically wasn't. And therefore, because of that, they decided, okay, we can leave him alive. That's one idea. Taimed Akra, Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, his wife wasn't Amalek. So they kept his wife alive, but he, they were always going to kill. They were planning on killing him publicly tomorrow. They wanted to show the last Amaleki alive. There were other Amalekim that were around here, other areas. But the last Amaleki of these people were alive. That's him. They wanted to do it in such a way. And not only that, it seems like he took a survey of the people, and one guy spoke up. And we all know who this guy is, Doeg Ho'adomi. Doeg Ho'adomi became the chief justice in the Beis Din later on. Doeg Ho'adomi, who was wicked in front of all Klal Yisrael, the guy who spoke Lashon Hara and tried to destroy David HaMelech, he got up and said, why should we kill Agag, let's leave him alive so that everybody knows what happens to Agag. He's the one that suggested it. Worst bit of advice ever. Vayhi, Tvar Hashem Shmuel Lemor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Shmuel saying, Nichamti Kim Lach Yishol LeMelech. I no longer want Shol as king over Bnei Yisrael. Kishov Me'acharai, went back from me. That's the Ryan Loi Kim, and he did not keep my word. Vayichal Shmuel. Shmuel got so angry. I warned him. I told him what to do. Vayizak L'Hashem Kol Laila. He cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all night long. Because again, he loved Shaul HaMelech. He didn't want his handiwork going down. This is my student. So just like anybody else would, he got up and he said, how can it, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, forgive, 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 forgive. That's what he tried saying one after the other when it came down to it. Now, the difference is that Shmuel HaNavi is going to approach Shaul, as we all know. He's going to say, you did something wrong. What should have been Shaul's response immediately? You're right, I sinned.
My bad.
I'm sorry. That should have been his immediate response. And we see with David HaMelech, the first thing David HaMelech ever says, Shaul HaMelech does not answer that way, and we're going to see, because he did not admit his guilt immediately, That was a problem. So the Kiddiz Yitzchak asked the following. He says, I don't understand. How does a Kadosh Baruch Hu feel bad about what he did before? If he knew that Shaul HaMelech wasn't going to last, don't make Shaul king. You understand how this works. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything. So what in the world are you trying to do over here? So the Kiddiz Yitzchak says the following. It's an amazing line. He says, if you plant a tree that you're planning on using for lumber later, that doesn't mean you're not upset if you plant, cultivate, grow the tree, and then have to cut it down. When you cut it down, you feel a pang of, oi, that's my handiwork that I'm cutting down. Everyone knows what you're doing it for, and there's a purpose to it. You know what it's there for, but you still can be upset about it. There's still an ability to be able to be upset over here. So Shaul HaMelech had sinned in that way, and we understood what he had done wrong. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I know eventually I'd have to take him down, but that didn't mean I didn't enjoy every second that he was king. It was worth it for the 2 years that he was king. Vayashkim Shmuel lekras Shaul, Baboker. Shmuel got up to greet Shaul in the morning. But you got the Shmuel lemor, and they told Shmuel, saying, Ba Shaul a Carmela. Shaul went to Carmel. Vine meitziv lo yod. So he made a place for himself. So he turned and he crossed down to the Gilgal himself. Shmuel and Avi did not summon Shaul HaMelech to him. Shmuel and Avi went to Shaul. That shows the greatness of the man named Shmuel. And also shows his respect for the king. That's what you're supposed to do, right? The respect for the king. Shmuel came to Shaul. Shaul spoke first. Baruch atola Hashem, hakimosi estevar Hashem. Blessed are you to Hashem. I established the word of God. I did exactly what you told me to do. Isn't that unbelievable? How did he think that way? Vayomer Shmuel, umeh kol atzon hazeh ba'oznoi. You get it? I used to go to a minyan, a Vasikin minyan, right in on the edge of Arzi Abira, right? And every single, this is the Haftorah that we use by Parshas Bishalach. Oh, no, by Parshas Zachar. This is the Haftorah that we use for Parshas Zachar. This talks about destroying a Amalek.
Okay,
right? And he gets it. And what he used to say, we say every time, was when the Baal Kori would do this, his name was Yossi. When Yossi used to do it, he always said, Umeh, the sound of the sheep, right? Umeh, kolatzon hazeh, boznoi. What is that sound that I hear in my ears? The kol abakar shonu chushmea. Don't you hear cattle? You didn't kill all the animals. Oh, they're from the Amalekim. They had pity on the sheep and the cattle. Hey, guess what? They're going to bring it as korbanos to Hashem. Elokecha, your God. Pretty good, right? Not Elokeinu. Elokecha. The rest of it, don't worry, we destroyed completely. Don't worry, we destroyed. Again, Shlomo looked at it, and he's like, no, 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 you don't understand. It's going to be destroyed. I know it hasn't been destroyed yet, but it will be. So you don't have to worry about anything. Everything will be destroyed. Everything's going to happen over here. But look at that. Look at how he shifted the blame. Asher chomal ha'am al meitavatzon. It's the people that had mercy on it. Dude, you are the king. You can't say that about them. You can't go up and say such a thing. That's the idea behind it. Shaul HaMelech should also have understood the ambiguous warning that Shmuel and Avi had already given him. Umeh kolatzon should have immediately said, oh my gosh, you're right, I didn't do it correctly. But instead, he excused himself, placed the responsibility on the people, blamed them because of his fear of the people, and that was an unbelievably bad thing to do. Vayomer Shmuel Shaul. Heref v'gidul chaser shidibar Hashem elai halayla. Quickly, I got to tell you something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to me about last night. Vayomer lo daber. And he spoke to him and he said, speak. Vayomer Shmuel, haloim katon ato b'necha. If you think you're nothing in your own eyes, rosh shifti Yisrael ato. You're really the head of all B'nai Yisrael. Vayim shalchach Hashem l'melech al Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu anointed you as king over all B'nai Yisrael. Vayishlachach Hashem b'darach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent you on this. Vayomer lo, leich v'acharam te'asa chatoyim es Amalek. I asked you to destroy the sinners Amalek. You should fight them until you utterly destroy them. Lama lo shamata v'kol Hashem. Why didn't you listen to the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Vatat al shalom. You rush to the spoils like a vulture. Vatasa rabi ne Hashem. That's evil in the eyes of Hashem. Not only that, there's a chilul Hashem. People are looking at it, they're like, oh, you know why they left the animals open? Because they weren't fighting Amalek because they were enemies of God. They were fighting Amalek because they wanted their stuff. That's why they did it. And that is a tremendous chilul Hashem. Vayomer Shaul al Shmuel, asher shamati v'kol Hashem. What do you mean? I did obey God. I listened to the word of God. I did whatever Hashem told me to do. I brought Agag right here. I destroyed the rest of Amalek over here. Right? I didn't do anything. I'm only missing one person. And the whole purpose of me leaving over that person was to show everyone that I'm doing it in front of everybody. I wanted to make a public destruction right over here. I didn't do anything wrong. The animals, they're all going to die. Everything's going to die. What's the problem over here? That's the craziness behind it, right? And that's that. It's some commentators say that there were other Amalekim that were left alive aside from Agag. Some of those commentators say it was the animals. The animals, remember the magicians, the witchcraft that they were able to do in which they were able to turn themselves into animals? Some of those Amalekim actually did it, and Shaul HaMelech did not realize what was happening over here. That's number one. Number two, right? Number two, it's also strange that he thought this way. Again, he thought, in a theory, that Agag could become a Ger Amaleki. That in theory, he could convert, and he could join Klal Yisrael and be an even bigger Kiddush Hashem. That is not allowed, although there is machlokas about this, right? But that's something that's going to be a problem as well. The people took from the spoils, the sheep and the cattle, the first of the ban to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were going to bring it over there and bring it over there immediately. Do you think God wants these olos uzvachim and not listening to the word of God? It's better to listen than it is to bring korbanos. Lahakshiv, to listen to God, mechele ve'ilim, then give the fats of the rams over here. It's self-defeating, he told him, to offer the sacrifice if you're circumventing God's will when doing so. That's ridiculous over here. The Likutei Sichos, right, says down, this is from Rav Nachman Breslov, it's about accepting the yoke of God with a firm commitment. You think it's got to be on your terms. It's not on your terms. It's on God's terms. And if you can't do that, then you're doing the wrong thing. Kichatas kesameri. You know what the sin is? Magic and bitterness. The avenu trufim. Who knows what the other things are? Haftsar. Now it's spread throughout. Yama ases varshem. You've despised the word of God. Yama ascham emelech. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has despised you from being king. And as we said before, the concept over here is there was magic involved, Shaul. The animals are part of the people. Or there's something else going involved. Maybe Agag was able to be together with a woman at night, and thus the child, Amalek, is going to continue. Something is going to happen over here. Something went wrong. Finally, he said, I sinned. I went over the word of God, on your words, because I was afraid of the people. And I listened to their voice. Right? And that's that. Once again, Shaul blamed the people. Just stop. Just say chatasi. Just say avartius pi Hashem. But the wording of, because I was afraid of the people, you added on something. You're giving an excuse. The people that he feared was really doi goadomi. I was afraid of doi goadomi. Don't be afraid. That was the worst thing he could have said. V'atah sonah eschatzi, forgive my sin. V'shuvi mi, come back with me. V'shachav al-Hashem, I'll bow down to Hashem. Yom Shmuel Shol. Lo shuvi mach. I'm not going back with you. Kimas esfar Hashem, you despise the word of God. V'imas ka Hashem, yos melech ha-Yisrael. Hashem has despised you from being in charge of B'nai Yisrael. V'yizo Shmuel lechas, Shmuel turned to leave. V'yachazek b'chnaf mi'ilo v'yikareya. He grabbed onto the corner of his coat and he tore. The pasuk is not clear who grabbed onto who. The simple pshat is that Shaul grabbed onto Shmuel as he was leaving and tore the robe, right? And tore the robe. That's the pasuk pshat foretelling that Shaul's robe itself was going to be torn by David. And that was the man. That's the foretelling. But others say Shmuel turned to leave and tore off a piece of the robe himself. Vayomer loved Shmuel, and Shmuel said to him, Kara Hashem is malachus Yisrael mi'alecha. Hashem has torn away the kingdom from you. Hayom today, unesan l'reacha tov mi'mecha. And he's giving it to another king, your friend, who's better than you. Chazal tell us over here that although it says he's torn away the malchus of Yisrael from you, but he's still giving you Olam Haba. He never lost Olam Haba. What's up, Yaakov?
How long did it take until David, from this moment until David became king?
We're not positive, because the pasuk is not clear when this happened. Either a year, 2 years or 6 months, around that time between them. But remember, Shaul HaMelech is going to have to chase after David HaMelech. It takes a while for that to happen.
Yeah, it sounds like he tore it away from him like the next day.
Uh-huh. Yeah, 100%. So I don't know.
2 years.
And then he says in Pasuk Chav Tes, V'gam Netzach Yisrael Yishaker, the one who is the victor of Israel will never lie. V'leinachem, he will not go back on this. Ki lo adam hu leinachem, he can't go back on it. Something good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could never go back on. Something bad, there is a way to go back on. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shmuel HaNavi was saying to Shaul, it's not going to be gone back on. Even though bad things, you could do tshuva and get it back, it's too late now. There's no way it can happen over here. And when somebody asks, wait a second, but everybody can do tshuva, right? Can't anyone do tshuva? But that's the reason why. It's too late. You had your chance. This was your chance to do tshuva. It's no longer. There's no way for you to do it. It's too late for all of this over here. I sinned. Atakabdeni, at least honor me. Neged zikne ami, opposite. The elders of my nation, neged Yisrael, opposite Yisrael. Shuvim mi yushach v'yisrael l'Hashem elokecha. Come back with me. Let's bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me maintain my royal dignity until it's gone. Let me keep my everything that I have until it's gone. Vayoshu Shmuel achrei Shaul. Shmuel returned after Shaul. V'yishtachu l'Shaul l'Hashem. And Shaul HaMelech bowed down to Hashem. So Shmuel acquiesced. He said, fine, I'll go with you, but that's it. Vayomer Shmuel, Hagishu Elayis Agag Melech HaMalek. Bring me Agag, king of Amalek. V'yelech elav Agag Madanos. Agag was brought to him bound. Some say Madanos is in an area called Madanos, but he's brought to him bound. Vayomer Agag, and Agag said, Achein, Soramar Amavis. Therefore, the bitterness of death has turned away from me. Chazal say one of three different things. Either number one, he honestly thought he wasn't going to be killed. Shmuel Navi, he's not going to kill me. Shmuel Navi is the biggest rachaman in the world. So the first thing he said was, oh, Baruch Hashem, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to die. That's the first thing he said. Sor maramavis, the bitterness of death has turned away from me. I don't have to worry about it whatsoever. That's one thing. Number two, he said, no. He said, sor maramavis, it's turned to me the bitterness of death. Now I know the bitterness of death is going to be there for me. That's number two, that he realized that that was going to be. So the Ralbag says the original idea, right? But Shmuel Navi knew that it was a mitzvah and said, if there's a mitzvah to do, I'm doing it myself. Shaul Melech was supposed to do it, he didn't do it. I'm going to do it myself. We went over there, right? But the other thing is that. But the third shot is my shot, and I think it makes a lot of sense. So Mar Mavis, dying at the hands of a tzaddik like Shmuel Navi is a tremendous chus. Tremendous chus. I wish I could die by the hands of Shmuel Navi. That's awesome. Shmuel Navi killed me. It's an unreal schus. So he said, Sor Maramavis, the bitterness of death is turned away because I'm being killed by a tzaddik. I'm being killed by a great tzaddik. That is something there. Yeah.
Shmuel Navi brings a plague and 20,000.
No. Direct. And that's why it says, V'yomer Shmuel kasher shikla nashim charbecha, because you bereaved women with your sword, meaning, in other words, you killed people and caused women to be bereaved from their husbands. Kintish kal minashim imecha, your mother, right, will have the worst of it all. It's interesting, right? Your mother as opposed to his wife?
She should be already dead.
Yeah, you'd think so. Well, we don't know how old Agag was.
No,
either
in this
the Amalek.
She was Amalek.
Oh, that's a very good call.
If she was Amalek.
Right. According to that shot, that she wasn't Amalek, right? That he wasn't Amalek. That could be very well good. Very good. But also, it's weird. Why your mother? What is his wife? His wife was still alive. But, okay, new. Right? But it says, Vayishasev Shmuel's Agag lifnei Hashem ba'Gilgal. Shmuel and Avi then cut down Agag lifnei Hashem ba'Gilgal. The word Vayishasev, I don't know. I'd love to see someone that says where this word appears anywhere else in Tanakh. I have never heard it. Vayarog, I don't know. Becherev, something like that. Vayishasev. I don't even know what it means. It's almost like he sliced them in half. I have no idea what that refers to over here, but that's that. Okay, obviously, it might not have been his wife. We already said there was a slave woman who might have been together with Agag that night. Either way, that slave woman eventually gave birth to Haman, and that's why there are people around, etc. Vayel Shmuel HaRamah, so Shmuel went back to Ramah. Shol Olo Beis Givat Shol. Shol went back to his house in Givat Shol. They never saw each other again. Vayel Yosa Shmuel Leros Shol. Ad Yom Moso. Shmuel could not see Shol till the end of his days, till the day of his death. And the reason why? Mamish Pashut. He couldn't handle it. He so badly wanted to see him, but like he couldn't handle it. He knew he was too upset. The Barbanel says that. Kisabel Shmuel al Shol. He was upset. He was in mourning. Vashem Nicham Kihim Lech Shol al Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu reconsidered having crowned him. Okay, now. Pasuk Tazayin. Okay, Perek Tazayin, I'm sorry. So, Vayomer Shem al Shmuel. I'm a side to Miss Abba al Shol. Why are you sad about Shol? Number one, I rejected him. Number two, it's time to make the new king. Vanima Astiv Mimloch al Yisrael. I'm despised him. He's no longer king. Malik Harnach HaShemen. Fill your horn with oil. Velech Vashalachacha el Yishai Beis Lachmi. Go, I'm sending you to Yishai of Beis Lachan. Kiris Vibon of Limelech. Among his sons, I've already seen a king. Now, here's the horn. What horn are we talking about? This horn was kept in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash eventually, right, from now on to be used to anoint kings and Kohanim Gedolim with the Shemen HaMishcha. Shaul HaMelech was anointed with a different type of oil, parsenemy oil. Some said they used Shemen HaMishcha as well, but not the Karen. This horn was now going to be used. Where is this Karen from? Of course, the Medrash says it was the horn from the Ayel from Avram Avinu, right? That's what some say. Others say it's from somewhere else. But that's the idea behind it, what's going on over here. Now, who is Yishai, Beis Lachmi? Some say that Beis Lachmi is a reference to how great of a person he was. Yishai is Yachad Shivtei Yisrael. That's the acronym of his name, Yachad Shivtei Yisrael. He was a tremendous Talmid Chacham Rosh Yeshiva. He had thousands of Talmidim. He was a massive Talmid Chacham and well known throughout Klal Yisrael. That's the idea behind it. And the line that he gave over here for Yishai's son is Li. Bevan of Li Melech. I'm going to have for me a king, person who's going to listen to me.
Maybe he was just from Beit
Lech. I'm sorry? Maybe. Oh yeah, for sure that's the Pashup. Eichelech, how can I go? Shama Shol Vargeni. Shol's going to hear about it and he's going to kill me. Now, Chazal say the following. Even though Shluchei Mitzvah ain't in Yizokin, you get sent on a mitzvah, you're not going to be hurt. And especially if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending you, right? You don't question HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We learn from here that if there's an inherent danger, you do not go unless you can somehow get out of it. Shaul HaMelech knows I'm going to make another king. Shaul HaMelech's watching my every move. How in the world am I supposed to do this? If Shaul hears about it, he's going to kill me. I can't put myself in danger like that. Hashem, do I have to do anything special over here? V'yomer Hashem, eglas bakar ticha biyadecha. Okay, fool him. Take a calf in your hands. V'amar t'luz b'och l'Hashem basi. And say you're bringing it as a zevach to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that makes sense. You're going there for an excuse, and you don't have to worry about it whatsoever. Therefore, because of that, it's not going to be there. Okay, the Radak says, right, you can always expect hidden miracles, but you can't expect open ones. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to minimize the nes. You're right. Don't go to Shaul open to Yishai open-handed and say, like, I'm making the king now. Shaul, come get me. Don't do anything stupid. Do it on the outside like you're going somewhere else, but do everything else in the way that I'm telling you to do it over here. The Malbim said, in certain ideas, if the shlichus is all about danger, for example, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to go to Paro, right? Moshe says, send somebody else. That was the wrong thing to say. Moshe knew if the shlichus itself is fraught with danger, not because of the outside, but the shlichus itself is fraught with danger, then you must listen because he's telling you to do it on purpose. So too with Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah Hanavi was told to go to Tzidkiah and tell him how wrong he was and that the base image is going to be destroyed. You got to go ahead and do it. You got to tell Yoyakim that you wrote Eicha and tell him exactly what it is, even though it's going to put your life in danger. But over here, Shmuel Hanavi said, is there a way of doing this without putting my life in danger? Is there a way to go over here? You're going to call to Yishai with this korban. And I'll tell you what to do when you get there. Anoint for me the person that I tell you will be king. Shmuel did exactly what Hashem told him to do. All the elders of the city were scared to see him. And he said, Shalom Boacha. He said, I'm coming to you in peace. Some say Vayomer is referring to the Sanhedrin. Are you coming in peace? Why were they so afraid? Well, the simple pshad, they saw the Egla Rufa. They saw he was carrying an Egel, right? They're like, uh-oh, what do we do? What's going on here, right?
He's going around there.
But he's got the Egel. They said, what do we do wrong? So the Malbim says, right? The Malbim says that's what they were worried about. The Barbanel and the Radak say they were accepting any Musr you'd give them. You came to give us Musr. Clearly there's something here. What do we need to do to improve ourselves? That's what they were scared of. Third thing, and the most obvious thing in the world, they knew what Shmuel HaNavi was coming for. You're making the king, aren't you? You're coming to Shevet Yehuda.
Why would they know that?
Because everybody knew that Shaul HaMelech was already gone. That Shaul HaMelech was no longer there. That was not a private conversation between Shmuel and Shaul. This was
then
a very public thing.
Ask Shmuel to walk out with him.
Still, to show that right now he's still king. Right now he's still king, but there will be a new king of Klal Yisrael. So the elders of Yehuda went over and said, are you trying to set Shaul against us? What are you doing over here? That's what they were scared of. Vayomer, shalom. Shalom. Like that classic, you know. Yeah, shalom. Lizboch l'Hashem v'asi. I came to Shech to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yizkachu uvasem, right? Yizkachu, prepare yourselves. Uvasem iti v'zavach. I want you to come with me to the feast. Vayikadesh is Yishai v'ezbanu v'yikulam l'zavach. Also make sure Yishai and his sons are available. Make them come to the feast as well, right? Some say he only invited them. He said, you guys get yourselves ready, but I'm not inviting you really. Bring them along instead. When they came in, he saw Eliyav. Eliyav, the oldest son of Yishai. Look at that. This is the one. Shmuel did not express his thoughts out loud, but immediately he thought to himself, this is the one that's over here. Now, Ravigdor Miller says, obviously, he must have been awesome. Eliyav must have been awesome. Shmuel Anavi is not a regular guy. We see a guy who's really good looking and really tall and really like stately and, you know, king personified. And we'd be like, oh, that's the king. But Shmuel Anavi is not an idiot. He's 51 years old and the greatest person in Klal Yisrael at the time. Possibly one of the greatest people ever. He's not just looking at the face of Eliyav and saying, this guy's awesome. He's seeing inside Eliyav and he knew Eliyav had never done anything wrong. There seemed to be no character flaws whatsoever, and he's awesome. That's how Rav Avigdor Miller puts it. Rav Avigdor Miller puts it, he looked at him and he's like, oh my gosh, this person is perfect. He's never done anything wrong. Mikta Milio says, there was one thing wrong. One thing wrong. Look at what it says right after this. Don't look at his face. Velgova Kamaso, or his height. Kima Astiu. I hate this guy. I hate Eliyav. Ki lo asher yira adam. It's not what people see. People look at the eyes. Hashem Yerlevav. I'm looking deep down inside. You think you're looking deep down in Eliyav and you're seeing he has no sins? I'm looking deeper. And here's the crazy thing. Mida kineged mida. Shmuel Anavi said, I am the seer. Remember when Shaul HaMelech came to the city and said, I am the roa, anochi haroa, I am the seer? Hashem said, oh yeah? You're not going to see this. And when he came and he saw Eliyav, Hashem told him, oh, you think you see things? You see nothing. You see nothing. You have no idea what you're able to see over here, and that's that. What was it? Eliyav 100% had qualities. And in fact, Eliyav up until this point was 100% perfect. In the few... I'm sorry?
Is there an Eliyav somewhere else?
Maybe, but no, not famous. This is the only Eliyav that's famous. But he had a bad temper. He had never shown this bad temper before. He only shows it later when they're at war against Goliath, and Dovid HaMelech comes in, and Eliyav says, get out of here. What are you doing here? He had never yet gotten angry. But that bad mida was latent within him, and it was there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw it and said, I cannot let him be king. Even though until now he was perfect. Until now he was absolutely perfect. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish individuals for things they haven't done yet, but he doesn't want to give that to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael does not deserve somebody who's going to have a bad temper, and that's not that. The royalty that Shmuel saw in Eliyav, though, was not completely gone. Eliyav's daughter, Avichayil, married Rechavam. Married Rechavam, and her son was the king of Bnei Yisrael, Aviyah. Rechavam was the son of Shlomo Melech. No, cousin. It would have been first cousin twice removed. You think about it, it was Eliyav and David, Shlomo, Rechavam, and her. So it's first cousins once removed. I hope she was younger. I don't know. But you never know. Right? But that's that. But that's what happens over here. Isn't it crazy that somebody as great as Eliyav, where Shmuel Navi sees him and he's awesome, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes, oh, that guy? I hate him. I despise him. That's unbelievable, right? That's absolutely unbelievable over there. There is one other pshat over here in which he looked at him and says, Vayomer ach neged Hashem Yishicho. Where we said, he's like, oh, wow, that's the king? There's no way of looking at it. But you think this guy is like the anointed one, Shaul? He compared Eliyav to Shaul, and he said, this guy's seriously lacking in comparison to Shaul. Shaul's awesome, and Eliyav's not worthy. Right? That's what he said. Okay, next. Vayikra Yishael Avinadav. So Yishael called to Avinadav. Vayavreu lifnei Shmuel. They passed him in front of Shmuel. Vayomer, gambazelo bachar Hashem. Said this one was not chosen by God either. There's nothing there. Vayavre Yishael Shama. Vayomer gambazelo bachar Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't choose Shama either. Shama wasn't good enough. Avinadav, Shama, they weren't there. Yeah.
Getting
Nebuah.
Like, while this was happening, he was, like, passing out and then waking up.
No, I would assume that there was just a message, like Ruach HaKodesh, lower-level Ruach HaKodesh. But Hashem said, I'm going to tell you then. Yeah.
What is it? He's one of the, when they count.
Oh, oh, by one of the Nesiim? Oh, very good, very good. Very good. Vayomer Shmuel Yishai. Shmuel said to Yishai, Hatamu Narim? Is everything gone? Another, oh, I skipped a pasuk. I'm sorry. Pasuk Yud. Vayavar Yishai Shivas Banav Lifnei Shmuel. He passed by all seven sons in front of Shmuel. Vayomer Shmuel Yishai Lo Baruch Hashem Ve'Ela. Hashem hasn't chosen any of these. So they stopped. And Yishai was like, "All right, I'm out." So Shmuel looked at him. Vayomer Shmuel Yishai Hatamo and Arun. Are the kids done? Vayomer Od Shor Akaton. Well, yeah. There's another little kid. He remains. Vinei Ro'a Batzon. He's grazing with the sheep. Vayomer Shmuel Yishai Shulcha Ve'Kachenu. Go send for him and bring him over. Kilona Savad Bo'opo. We're not going to sit around the table until he comes here, right? We're not eating dinner until I see your eighth son. We're not going to go around here over here until that ends up happening over here. Now, the Radak says that he offered, Dovid HaMelech offered to watch the sheep for everybody else while everybody else went to Shmuel. He forewent seeing the Gadol Ador so that everybody else would be able to go and nobody else needed to take care of the sheep. So he himself was one who remained with the sheep itself. Now, at this time, David Melech was 29 years old. He wasn't exactly a spring, you know, like a little kid. 29 years old when he's sitting around. He wasn't too young to be invited over here. And also remaining, right? Oh, I've got one remaining, one son that I don't really count. Why didn't he count him? Why wasn't that over there? There's a Yalkut HaMechiri. If you've never heard this medrash before, it is not in the Gemara, it's not in the Yerushalmi. It's the Yalkut HaMechiri, which says, Yishai had no idea that David Melech was his son. He had no idea. Why not? So that's why he called him the little son, the little one. He didn't know at all. Yishai was married to a woman by the name of Nitzeves. Nitzeves was a regular Bas Yisrael. Everything was all good with her completely. But he himself had a doubt about himself. Remember, Yishai is the son of Oved. Oved is the son of Boaz. Who was Boaz married to? Rus. Nobody knew if Rus HaMoaviah was allowed to join Klal Yisrael or not. Is Rus HaMoaviah able to join Klal Yisrael or not? They paskin, Boaz paskin, that she was allowed to join Klal Yisrael. Wait, is that 07? No, that Rus was allowed to join Klal Yisrael. And therefore, he married her, had Oved, and Oved had Yishai. And therefore, Yishai married a regular girl because everybody said that's what Boaz paskin. Yishai looked into the sugya and said, I don't know. I don't know. And there was an ongoing debate. Not everybody held that way. So we weren't sure. When Boaz died the next morning after being together with Rus, people were like, sure that was the right psak? She became pregnant, right? But nobody was sure. So he separated from his wife at that point and said he already had 7 boys and 2 girls. So it's not like he wasn't, you know, puruvu. But he separated from his wife completely, right? And he separated from her and said, I don't think I can be together with you. I'm not positive. 3 years after he separated from his wife, Yishai asked a slave woman to come to him. Because if he was a Moavi, right, and he wasn't really able to join Klal Yisrael, he wasn't sure if legitimately the kids were Yotze, his chi of a Puruvu. He wasn't sure. So he said, okay, I'll have this Shipcha woman come to me, and I'll free her by doing so. And therefore, I'll have the children. The children will be considered Avodim Mishuchrarim, slaves that are freed, right? They wouldn't legally bear the burden of being a Moavi, and I'll be Yotze of having children with this person right over here. But that woman was loyal to her mistress, and she immediately went to Nitzeves and told Nitzeves what was happening, that there was a meeting between Yishai and her, and she didn't want to do it, but that was going to happen. Now, it wasn't Usser, because technically he thought that he was able to marry the Shifcha as a Moavi man. He wasn't sure what to do over here, but regardless, that's happened. She slipped out. Nitzeves went in her place, and Nitzeves became pregnant. Now, the woman, the Shifcha, also became pregnant. The assumption that Yishai made was that that child from the Shifcha was really his, and the child of Nitzeves was a child made by harlotry, that it was an adulterated kid. No one had any idea who the father of the child was. It was even, I guess, corroborated by the fact that when he came out, he had red hair and a red beard, just like Esav. David HaMelech looked like Esav when he came out of the womb, according to the Medrash. So they looked at him and they said, that must be from some type of znus. They thus shunned him, even though they knew it was a brother from the same mother, but they didn't think it was from the same father. They shunned him as an illegitimate offspring, and Nitzeves never told Yishai this because she didn't want Yishai to think that he could still be together with the Shifcha, because he was just going to go together with the Shifcha again. So Nitzeves never told Yishai what she had done and what ended up happening over here. No one ever thought of him as a regular child until right now. When Shmuel and Avi said, do you have another child? Yishai said, no. Nitzeves said, yeah, you got another child. And he's like, what? Nitzeves is like, that other kid, it's yours. He's like, can't be. They brought in David HaMelech, and this is what happened over here. All of a sudden, it started going over here. He was all red. Beautiful eyes, and he was a beautiful person. Get up, anoint him. This is exactly what it is. When Shmuel saw the red hair of David HaMelech, he was afraid that this is a violent kid, Esav. And the truth is, he is a violent kid. David HaMelech killed more people than he can ever imagine in the wars against the Pelishtim and everybody else. He killed way more than enough people. But the beautiful eyes. There's rachamim here. There's something awesome here. And that's that. He would always be involved in the Urim, Tumim, and Sanhedrin. He would be involved in such things. And he was involved in Torah. Don't worry. He's Tov. He's going to be Tov. Vayikach Shmuel as Karen Hashem. And he took the flask of oil. Vayishach Hoseo, and he anointed him. Bekarav Achiv, in midst of all of his brothers. Evchav. Vatitzach Ruach Hashem al David. Immediately he got a spirit of God that went upon him. Me'ayomahu v'malah from that day on. Vayakom Shmuel v'yelech ha-Ramah. And Shmuel got up and went back to Ramah. Right? Now, there's a Shiloh. Did he do this publicly or privately? Now, we know the brothers were there. But was this publicly in front of everybody there, or was it privately just in front of the seven sons, Yishai, Shmuel, and David, and that's 10 people altogether, that he did it in front of a minyan itself, and that's when the Shekhinah came and rested upon him over there. Now, the problem is that if the brothers actually saw the anointing, I told you already, Eliyav is going to knock down David and Melech later on when they went to war. How dare Eliyav do that if he knew his brother was anointed as the king? How could he have done that? It's just ridiculous. Sounds like he didn't know whatsoever. Furthermore, if Shmuel and Avi didn't want Shaul to find out about it, doing it publicly is probably the easiest way for Shaul to find out about what he had just done. That's just a silly thing to do. So it sounds like he was chosen from among his brothers, but the anointment did not happen in front of everybody else. That Eliyav and everybody else did not know what had happened over here. What happened? Shmuel and Avi took the oil, dabbed it in between David's eyes, drew the oil with his finger as a crown around the head of David HaMelech. So again, dabbed in front of the eyes, put the oil right there, and then put in a crown right over there. The oil clung to his head and shone like diamonds and pearls. But the horn that he had taken the shemen from remained as full as if he hadn't taken out anything at all. It remained just as full. The shemen HaMishkat is never missing. Kohen Gadol also, by the Kohen Gadol, by the way, they do it as an X on the forehead and let it drip down. That's what they did to Aaron HaKohen and any other Kohen Gadol. This is done as a dab and go around as a crown itself. The Spirit of God that goes on him is amazing. From that point on, David Melch is a different person. He fought against a bear and a lion at the same time and defeated them both because he was together with the sheep, as we'll see later on. That's the idea. As soon as he got it, that's when he started composing the Tehillim that we so know and love today. He had ideas beforehand, but this was the real deal. Beruach Hashem Sarameim Shol, the Spirit of God left Shol, ubi atasu, and a bad spirit, Ruach Ruah Meis Hashem, and immediately a bad spirit from HaKadosh Baruch Hu came upon him. Because you can't have the Ruach HaKadosh on both of them, on one and the other. It has to be on one or the other at the same time. He had melancholy. He started getting this deep remorse. He started having these terrible thoughts. It seems like there's a bad spirit upon you. That shows kind of anivus of Shaul, right? Would you say that to Saddam Hussein? Would you say that to Gaddafi? You wouldn't do that to somebody like, oh, you look terrible, your majesty. You just wouldn't say that to somebody. But Shaul, Yomer Adonenu Avadecha Lefanecha, let your Lord speak, right? Your servants in front of you. Yivakshu Ishio Damen Akin Bakinor, we should find a man who can play the harp. When you're feeling bad, let him play the harp and it'll be good for you. If you can find a guy who's good at that, bring him to me. And here is the Mida Kenegan Mida, isn't it? One of the boys got up. Who is the boy? Guess who? Doeg. Hoedomi gets up. I saw a child to Yishai from Beis Lechem. What time is the guy's? 9:13. I got it. And from Beis Lechem, Yodea Nagin, he knows how to sing. Gibor Chayo, strong man. Ish Mochama, man of war. Nivon Dover, he understands things. Ish Toar, good looking dude. Vashem Imo. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with him in everything he does. Now, obviously, this is there. Chazal tell us that Doeg Edomi meant every single thing as a form of Lashon Hara. He wanted him to already start. Doeg's intentions were evil. He wanted to arouse Shaul HaMelech's envy. And to make it there, Chazal tells us that's exactly what he did. He's glossing over everything over here and everything like this. All of this had to do with Torah. Then he knew how to learn, and everything. Shaul HaMelech said, yeah, me and Yonason can do that. Me and my son Yonason can do that. When he got to the last part, Vashem Imo, he always paskins correctly. Shaul HaMelech said, whoa, I don't always paskin correctly. Who is this kid? That's where he got jealous. Vayishlach Shaul HaMelech al Yishai, sent messengers to Yishai, Yom HaShulcha Eli is David bin Chashar Batzon, send me David. Vayikash Yishai Chamor Lechem, he sent him, right, a donkey with bread, Vinod Yain and a flask of wine, Ugdi Yizim and goats, Echad. Vayishlach Biyad David bin Ol Shaul, and he sent it with David into his son in the hands of Shaul HaMelech itself. This is, by the way, the donkey load is 185 pounds altogether that he sent him over to him. And once again, the reason why, simply put, is because he knew that David HaMelech was already anointed. All of a sudden, Shaul calls for him. He's like, please don't kill him. Please don't kill him. He tried to give them this as a gift. Beis Lechem, by the way, is called Beis Lechem because they had awesome bread. And that's why it's called Beis Lechem. That's why he sent him bread. And he stood in front of him. Shaul loved him a lot. He started carrying all of his vessels. I want him to stay here, right? He found favor in his eyes. Notice, no Ben Yishai. He left his father permanently, says the Kli Yakar. And to end this parak, Pasuk Chav Gimel, when the Spirit of God came to Shaul and he was sad, he took the kinor, and he sang, and Shaul felt better. better. B'toyflo, it was good. B'sar mi'alav ruach ha'ra, and the ruach ha'ra went away. David HaMelech, the unknown shepherd boy, who everybody had scorned, all of a sudden was summoned to play music for the king. And guys, this is what it says in Hallel. The Gemara in Pesachim says that all of Hallel is about this, right? He got up and he said, Hod lo Hashem ki tov ki elon chaso. That's what he ended up saying. And then you get all the end. Everybody knows this. It goes, Odcha ki Hashem ki ani sani vatili lishua. I thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you gave me a Yeshua. That's David. What's the next line? Me'es Hashem ha'isazo. Evan mo'asu habanim. The Evan, the Ben, mo'asu habanim, hated by the other sons. Ha'isa l'rosh pina. He's the king. The shvatim, the seven boys said that about him. Me'es Hashem ha'isazo. Siniflas v'neo. This is from a god. This is wondrous in my eyes. Said Yishai. This is the day of God. Negilah v'nismach habo was said by Shmuel. Ona Hashem Oshiana said by David. Ona Hashem Atzlichana was said by all the brothers, right? And then Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem was said by Shmuel. Every single line is referring to what happened by David HaMelech. Isn't that awesome? It's really an awesome line. We'll stop with that, guys. And